In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Baptism is so wonderfully joyful that even the incarnate Lord desired to receive it. We cannot speak of it enough or highly enough. May it daily fill our minds and move our feet. It is more than simply a past event, but it is our life. It defines us. As we remain children of our parents by virtue of our birth, so we remain children of God by virtue of baptism. A godly life is rooted in baptism. We've died to sin, and so we flee its fallen impulses. We've been raised with Christ, so we walk in the way of Christ. This is the life of repentance. Repentance is nothing more than daily returning to the font. Daily, we confess our sins. Daily, we live in his forgiveness. So let us daily thank and praise God for washing us. Let us daily be filled with joy and gladness for this heavenly bath. May it always delight our hearts, strengthen our minds, and govern our bodies. When sad, may it cheer us. When hopeless, may it give us hope. When lonely, may it reveal our dear Father. When scared, may it reveal Christ's victory. When upset, worried, or frustrated, may it settle us. When ill, may it heal us. When aging, may it reinvigorate us. When blessed, may it multiply our blessedness. When happy, may it increase our joy. In short, there is nothing baptism fails to do. There is no time in our life that it is pointless, meaningless, or not helpful. It never lets us down, never fails us, never disappoints us. It is the answer to every problem, trouble, discomfort, illness, ailment, hospitalization, worry, and fear. Do not think that I've overstated this sacrament, but see the power of God stirring these waters. He has attached such great promises to water. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, he said. What else is salvation other than the removal of all things that afflict us? Yes, the removal of sin. Yes, the removal of hell and death and Satan. But also the removal of pain and heartbreak, trouble and tears. This is the wonders of baptism. In the Old Testament, God prefigured baptism in a variety of ways to teach us what this water does for us. The flood is one such way. As the flood destroyed all the wicked, so baptism cuts us off from the wicked, or we are separated from the world. We are foreigners and strangers in it. Noah rested safe and secure in the ark while the wicked quickly built seawalls, boarded up their houses, and scrambled onto ships. But not one of them survived. Only the ark survived because God shut him in. For us, we live in the world, but we are not of the world. We are of the water and the word. We are reborn from heaven. So we are nothing like them. We are separated. Yes, we sin. But baptism continues to wash away our sins. Yes, we get sick, and yes, we die. But as we go through it all, we rest in the ark of the Holy Christian Church. The storms of life can rage and pound, the world can riot and protest, but nothing can harm us. Nothing will last forever. For as the Lord surrounded the ark by his grace, so he surrounds us by his grace. Still, the devil will tempt and try to harm you. But remember that God has brought you in. So let this devil yell and tempt and threaten all he wants. Let him make himself hoarse with his ranting and raving. Let him threaten you with all kinds of misfortune, pain, and trouble. He can harm you none. You are cut off from him and his allies. They are drowned in a crimson flood. You are safely borne on the top of these same waters in a beautiful vessel, headed toward that promised land, the new heavens and the new earth. When Israel entered the promised land of Canaan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant stepped into the water and the water stopped flowing. There in the middle of Jordan's dry riverbed, the ark stood until the whole community passed through. The ark was the presence of God. Since the incarnation, the presence of God has shifted to the person of Christ. So today we see Christ standing in the midst of the Jordan, granting us access into the promised land of heaven. Man can strive and plan and work as hard as he wants to get to heaven. But unless he knows where Christ is present, he will never make it. God must act. How simple. How profound. A bath gives salvation. Water brings all the blessings of heaven. It fills your cup and your tub. You play in it, irrigate with it, and see it glistening in the setting sun, and God makes this your salvation. In baptism, water reaches its ultimate purpose. There is no greater use. If we only had one drop left and we had to choose between quenching thirst or baptizing someone, we would baptize every single time. It's so simple. Yet because it's so simple, it is foolish to the world. How many are trying to figure out their way to heaven while sipping a cup of water, ironically? Naaman was one such man. He was a mighty man, a valiant warrior, the commander of the armies of Aram, but he was a leper. He was furious when Elisha sent him to the Jordan to wash. But when he finally did wash, not only was his leprosy gone, but his flesh was restored like that of a little child. For this water not only gives you the promised land of heaven, but do you see what it does to your body? Your sins are forgiven. Your fallen flesh is drowned. If we knew all the troubles that this flesh caused us day in and day out, yet how simple the remedy. Wash and be cleansed. Understand that daily this old man rises back up to mislead us. So daily throw him back into the font in repentant faith. The flesh defines you no more. Christ's righteous robe defines you, covers you, draped over you in water. And you are restored. Do you have a chronic illness? Baptism removes it. Do wrinkles, scars, or sores decorate your skin? Baptism makes it soft and supple. It heals your aching joints, strengthens your wobbly knees, fixes your shoulders and perfects your organs. It sharpens your mind, clarifies your eyesight, and opens your ears. In short, all medications, surgeries, and treatments try to imitate baptism. How can water do such great things? As I said before, it's because of God who stands in those waters, a flesh and blood God who came to fulfill all righteousness. By his bath, he turned all water into a blessed bath. Now, he was not washed to be free from sin. He was not washed to be forgiven or to be saved. But actually, the opposite happens to him. He is washed and he becomes our substitute. Our sins cling to him. And he steps into those dirty waters and bathes in our filth. He becomes the sinner. He is washed, and he becomes the curse. And the Father says that he is well pleased with Christ because he now bears the sins of the world. If he were only washed, baptism would be pointless. But he who was washed died for us. What was started off at his baptism publicly was publicly finished on the cross. And that completed victory was poured over you in baptism. If you are baptized, then you have all the blessings that Christ has won. You lack nothing. You are not a half member of the church, but a full and complete member who is kept from nothing. For voting and sitting on councils do not make you a member of the church, but baptism does. Catechesis and Bible study do not add anything new, but they continue to reveal the God who has washed you. Confirmation is not the completion of baptism, and God forbid we view it that way, for it is a human rite that we have decided to make use of. But rather, we have been given all things already through baptism. And as for the Holy Supper, it is the enjoyment of our baptismal life together. This is what the baptized do. They eat and they drink, they rejoice and they celebrate, they proclaim his death and they receive his forgiveness once more. For God is a God who cannot help but to give, and it all begins in water. Human words fail to describe the great wonders of this heavenly bath. So we will content ourselves with this for today. Thanks be to God that we have eternity to plumb the depths of this wonderful sacrament. Thanks be to God that he has brought our salvation to us and made it so simple. For he who believes and is baptized will be saved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.